Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Michael, it's John. You're back on WGN. How are you today?
John, old pal, how you doing?
I'm good. And life in your world is okay? Everything all right with
you? It's
y'all?
Okay. Yeah, it's busy, weirdly busy, you know, for considering how life is sort of standing still and flying ahead at the same time. It's hard to say, but yeah, it's been an interesting time. I mean, this is now officially 2020. I think we can say is the year of the pandemic and Hamilton again.
Oh, really? Because I mean, a couple weeks ago there was there was speculation about what the word for 2020 will be. The way Webster's Dictionary or the Oxford English Dictionary, each year they'll say, okay, here is the word for 2020, and everybody said it was going to be coronavirus or maybe COVID.
Yeah.
Or maybe George Floyd, or maybe change, maybe Hamilton will be in the mix, Michael.
Right, it's entirely possible. I think if I had to pick one word, it'd probably be Richard Deacon as Mel Cooley on the old Dick Van Dyke Show. The word would be yeah. You know, it has not been an easy year for most people, and it's been kind of a yeah in a lot of ways.
Did you go to a movie?
I did. I went to three movies last week. Isn't that wild? I mean, I went to two indoor movies, and then one of the pop-ups that have popped up all around Chicago in the pandemic era here, where people are really quite desperate to get something going in their lives that relates to the movies and the movie going they knew from before. And
right.
I went down to the Shy Football Project in Pilsen that was just kind of great. It was, you know, Jurassic Park again, but, you know, 115, 120 cars, right in this kind of funky industrial landscape. I didn't eat the food, but the menu, which came off a couple of food trucks and looked like some pretty tasty tacos, you know, that's a pretty good solution for a pretty tough time.
You went to two indoor venues as well.
Yeah, that was wild. I mean, so the Music Box is the conspicuous experimenter here in this time. I mean, the Music Box, John, as you know, pretty big. Seats about 750 in the main house. The Phase 4 reopening regulations cap attendance at 50 per screening. So that, that is an unprofitable percentage. Nonetheless, the Music Box dives in and says, you know, we own a print of 2001, A Space Odyssey. We want to just get going and see if we can pull it off. And, you know, I saw one of the three sold out, meaning 50, screenings on the reopening day, Friday. And first of all, that movie, Stanley Kubrick's movie, is the most socially distancing film ever made. So it was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a chilly, alienating experience anyway, but also kind of rapturous. You know, it's great. I have no idea if I if that's going to lead to more, you know, steady attendance like that. But I think there was enough of a core audience that just was happy to get back in. And you know, from what I could tell, John, the Music Box is taking the safety precautions and everything very seriously. And you do want that, just as a critic and as a private citizen.
Did
you
they
want
close
it.
Off certain seats, Michael? Did they, like, say?
Oh, yeah.
So it was
Every other row, John, every other row taped off, and then you can't be within, you know, a couple of seats of anybody. And that's a three-section old-school 1929 auditorium, and they had completely roped off the two side sections. So you're really just talking about the center. And even so, you know, 50 people in a center section at that theater, plenty of room,
yeah.
Plenty of room.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's okay. I mean, it's the other one. The other one I checked out was Classic Cinemas in the Suburbs in St. Charles. A more conventional multiplex 18 screener out the Charlestown 18. You know, that was a little more of a forlorn experience, to be honest. It was a little lonelier in there. It was, I think people just, you know, the mall was pretty much closed anyway. The theater was, you know, about the only thing going. That was a little more of like a good try, but and with it, you could just tell they were waiting, as is everybody, for the return of new movies that people may, in fact, take a chance on. Mulan, especially that Christopher Nolan film Tenet. But right now, we're making do with the old stuff. And I think in the pop-up drive-in, and in my experience at the Music Box, they're succeeding with it in a limited way.
I saw 2001 when it came back to the Music Box last year and just really loved that. But I don't know how I would feel about being in a theater of any size with other people. Like, were you all wearing masks the whole time, Michael, and were you nervous at all?
Well, I don't think I can share that with you, Dave. No, that was Hal. Sorry, that was my Hal impression. Yeah, you know, people were all wearing masks. Look, this is I'm a solidly, you know, in favor of you know, all the restrictions. I don't, you know, there were anybody who mistakenly sort of dropped the mask to order the popcorn at the concession counter. Though there was the general manager just kind of swooping in with a mask, saying, "Hey, mask up." You know, and that was the same case in McHenry Outdoor Theater of McHenry, which is, you know, a great, you know, traditional 1954 drive-in. When I went out there, and it was April or May, I forget when, you know, they were really taking the mask stuff seriously. And they had some pushback from some people out there. But, you know, the guy I talked to who was in charge of enforcing the mask just, you know, said, look, it's the one thing we ask. Do it.
And people were.
You know, half the yeah. I mean, this is the thing, right? And half the country doesn't like the sound of that sentence. And the other half of the country is like, you know what? The mask can't hurt. And this is why this country seems so stinking divided right now.
Well, but so when the lights go out, I could see there's nothing you can do about this or the manager can do about this. But when the lights go down, I would imagine some people will slip their mask off because nobody wants a mask on their face for 2 hours watching a movie. And
right.
And that's just the risk that any moviegoer is going to have to take for the time being.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a little like what you were saying in the previous half hour about the 14-day quarantine warning. I think it's, you know, once you're in your seat and you've got your snacks, you're not expected to keep the mask on if you got a bucket of popcorn. And I think that then it's up to you. But that's why the social distancing and the seating spacing really matters.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, I think I'm for every reasonable precaution. I don't want the beat to go away because then my job goes away or else moves entirely online like everybody's watching. Things like Greyhound, which I just saw, the Tom Hanks thing, which is going to premiere this Friday on Apple TV. But I don't want that to happen. I also don't want to, I don't want to inadvertently spread anything or catch something myself. So
hey,
this is the conundrum we're in.
Tom Hanks, Greyhound, I don't know about this movie.
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a World War II drama based on a C.S. Forster novel. He's the guy who wrote Horatio Hornblower and African Queen and all that. And Hanks is kind of freely adapted. It's a 1942 fictional story of a U.S. Navy destroyer leading a convoy of supply ships across the Atlantic to Britain, and they're just trying to dodge the German U-boat torpedoes.
Yeah.
And it's 90 minutes, very tight. It's like 85 minutes without credits. It's not like groundbreaking or revolutionary or anything, but it's really pretty solid. And Hanks adapted the screenplay himself. The guy who directed it, it's only his second feature. He did Get Low all those years ago, 11 years ago, with Robert Duvall, Bill Murray. It was a good film, actually. And it's, you know, it's pretty good. It's the movie your dad should see, even if your dad's, you know, not
his. Yeah,
and I mean,
yeah,
there's a dad,
yeah,
and there's a dad in most moviegoers, right?
is there a line in the movie where Tom Hanks says, "I am the captain now"? It's kind of just
even the score. In a funny way, John. This is exactly the narrative arc of the thing.
Cause he's
a first time. He's a first time commander, and he's got to earn. He makes a kind of a tactical mistake in the first 15 minutes of the story, and he's got to re-earn the trust of the crew back the whole rest of the way. And that's what gives this thing a little human drama. And I mean, it's not amazing, but it's really good. And, you know, for what it is, and frankly, it sits pretty well on the small screen because it's kind of a small tightly confined.
Oh, that's right.
Story.
Yeah, I'm going to watch this on at home. By the way, Michael, I got a break for 2 minutes. Come back with me for just a minute when we do, if you don't mind, and tell me what you thought about watching Hamilton on the small screen, and what did you make of that production? This is WGN, Michael Phillips, the film critic for the Chicago Tribune. Our Music Monday Morning Madness Mega Pros quiz comes your way, too, in just a couple of minutes. Call right now, 312-981-7200, if you want to play the Name That Tune. By the way, if I could just real quick, Mike, a text is poured in from my one-time Saturday producer and son, Griffin, who said, please ask Michael about Ennio Morricone, famous film composer who just died. The Ecstasy of Gold is probably his most famous song. Good, Bad, and Ugly. God. Once Upon a Time in America, Fistful of Dollars, etc.
Oh, geez, sweet. I just wrote about it for the Trib. It's online now. And he lived a great long life, 91. He wrote, John, he wrote as many as 15 film scores in a year, some years. I mean, the guy never stopped writing.
Wow.
And the stuff I love, you know, the spaghetti westerns he did for Sergio Leone. I mean, every time you hear that, there's Ennio Morricone running another buck. From, you know, just from the licensing. And do you remember the music in The Untouchables? You know, great theme there. I mean, I love it. And he just wrote stuff that people adore. And if you go in the comments on YouTube now, after the news of his death came over this morning, it's they're really touching. I mean, people, you know, like long-haul truckers wrote in and said, you know, I've been working 16-hour days for 25 years, and like the music he wrote for The Mission with De Niro and Jeremy Irons, you know, that gets me through the night sometimes. I mean, just stuff like that, you know, that's when you realize film music has this long, long, long afterlife, and that's why we still talk about music written 50-plus years ago, but like it really means something to us, because it does. And yeah, he was great. Ennio Morricone, great, great career. Finally won an Oscar for The Hateful Eight. Not a great film, but the music is terrific. So, good enough for me, you know.
Wow. How about that? I'm glad you guys noticed that. We watched the other night Days of Heaven. I guess he did the
great music he wrote for that. Great music.
All right, so if I was going to watch a movie for his music, what's the one I'm going to watch? Don't make me watch The Hateful Eight.
Good, don't. For a spaghetti western, you could do, I would say, Once Upon a Time in the West, which is really beautiful and not as well known as the famous stuff he did, the more famous stuff he did in the 60s. I think for an urban setting, The Untouchables, and people adore Cinema Paradiso, and
Good, Bad, and the Ugly. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, all of it. I just, you know, I can't pick you. I resent you making me pick, John. I just don't. I can't. I won't do it.
All right, then don't. Tell me what your reaction was to Hamilton on your television set.
You know, it was a pip. It was a pip. It's a great show. It's one of those once a decade, or even once every couple decade, smashes like a chorus line that just, it kind of kills everybody. You know, everybody adores it. It's got enough showbiz in it to win over the most reluctant live performance audience member, and this basically a live concert film version of the show, taped back in June 2016, is a really sharp, you know, straight up faithful transcription filmed on the stage of the Richard Rodgers Theater during a couple of performances, and then they did some private, no audience close-ups and special shots in between
how they
the
got
two
those.
Performances.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. Like when the camera's suddenly on the turntable with the Skylar sisters going around in a circle just for 5 seconds. Great shot, very brief, impossible to get during a performance. But you know, this is why they reconvene on a Monday day off and film these pickups, and you know, really well stitched together. It's really good. It's not, you know, it's not a quote real bad film adaptation of a musical like the, I don't know, for better or for worse, the one we're going to get later this year, hopefully, that Spielberg, you know, is remaking West Side Story. That's a whole different set of parameters and a whole different level of ambition. But man, this is hitting the nation's sweet spot, John. I mean, yeah. You can just tell. It's the perfect thing for pandemic lockdown.
If you have the Disney Channel, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, the least you're going to pay for this experience is $6.99 to get the month trial, or the first month, I should say, and then cancel. Disney is, of course, hoping that you don't, and you get at least a year out of it, which should be $70. And if 3 million people, John, in this country do Disney membership for a year, pay the $70, mainly to watch Hamilton, then the film version will have grossed the equivalent of $400 million if it had played theatrically.
Wow.
Amazing. So, you know, will it hit? I think they're, you know, Disney paid $75 million to get the rights to it. I think it'll pay off.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it and watched it with the subtitles and was able to appreciate it even more having seen it once on stage. So Hamilton, well, I'm glad that you pointed it out. For $7 or $6.99 or whatever, I can get the 1 month trial and then cancel if I don't want to get locked in. But at least it's worth $6, that's for sure.
I mean, just watch the living hell out of it for a month. And
Yeah. Hey, it's good to hear your voice, and it's always good to read you. And Aleph just handed me your appreciation, five movies that show Ennio, is it Morricone?
Morricone, yeah. Ennio Morricone, yeah.
Ennio Morricone's piece in the Chicago Tribune Online. Nice to talk to you, Michael. My best to your family.
Yeah, thank you, John. Hope you stay well.